types of professional persons were invited. There were professional singers, professional dancers, and there were also professional reciters of the glories, reciters of genealogical trees, how the present king was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, genealogical table. Previously, the lineage of kings were known, right? Now, there aren't any Kshatriya families that, due to the effects of Kali Yuga, there are no Kshatriyas. but previously there were great, powerful kings, and people had a kind of peacefulness due to these kings and their reign or their government. Due to the effects of Kali Yuga, there are no Kshatriyas, there's Vaishyas that don't act properly. The quality of the Kshatriyas that they're very brave, they meet the challenge that comes forward to them. Previously, if there was a fight between two Kshatriyas, what it would mean was is that somebody was going to die. If there was a fight between two Kshatriyas, one of them would die. That's what it meant. So when these powerful persons were there, people were very cautious dealing with them. And the quality of the Vaishyas is that they would do farming, take care of the cows, and do trading. Nowadays, Vaishya means only trading, right? No taking care of cows, no farming. Go Rishi Varnija, only Varnija, trading. Make some big factory and then produce something and try to sell it. This is what Vaishya is. Or they, in order to get a demand for their product, they may make an artificial scarcity. It's like sometimes they hoard the grains, they buy grains when it's very cheap, and then they keep it, and then when there's a scarcity, they sell it at a high price. This is called quote-unquote business, but that's not actually the system that Lord Krishna had intended. Krishna had intended that people live off of the land and the cows. If you analyze, if all the factories in the world were to close today, if the airport shut down, there'd be no problem in one sense. Because we can't eat anything that comes out of the factory, and we can't eat anything that comes out of that so-called transportation systems, railway, airport, whatever it is. We live, what do we live on? We have to have a little rice, our chapati, sabji, right? Wherever you go around the world, it's the same system. Maybe they eat bread in Russia and potatoes, and in Bengal they eat rice and sabji. But it's the same thing. Because that's the system that Krishna set up. Anad bhavati bhutani parjanat anasambhavaha. Right? Rain comes, grain, and all the living bodies subsist on food grains. You can just imagine if you only had, if you didn't have any grain. No rice, no chapati, right? As soon as somebody puts some sabji on your plate, you're looking, where's the chapati, where's the rice? No rice, no chapati, no happiness, no maza, right? You gotta have that rice, you gotta have that chapati. Down in South India, they said, please come, it's time for lunch. And I said, don't tell me I know what's for lunch. Rice, lemon rice, dahi rice, plain rice, and more rice. So, we live off food grains. We have to have grains. And how do the grains come? The grains come by performance of yajna. We get rains. Right? Without rain, you can't get grains. Who's controlling the rain? Who controls it? Right? Now there's an election going on. People are campaigning for the votes. Vote for me. Everything will be great if you vote for me. Give me your vote. But if Krishna, the Supreme Lord, through his agents, demigods, restricts the rain, what will they do? Huh? Rains are required. So here we see that Prithu Maharaj, being the personality of Godhead, he was so powerful that if there was a drought, he would be able to produce the rains himself. So, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in many parts of Bhagavatam that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, rains are produced by performance of yajna. Yajna. So previously yajnas were performed in very elaborate and opulent means. Agnihotras were there, and huge amounts of grains and ghee were offered in sacrifice, in sacrificial fire. But this is not possible today, this type of yajna. The yajna that the Supreme Lord has recommended for this age is the Sankirtan yajna, or the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So if people want, Prabhupada has mentioned, if they want to have sufficient rainfall, then at least they should perform this Sankirtan yajna. When people have sufficient grains, foodstuffs, when they care nicely for the cow, they will have milk. And this is what's really required. Srila Prabhupada said this artificial society, what did it produce? You know, now so many years we've had the Industrial Revolution, and people have been working in factories. Is this any great achievement of modern civilization? That people are destined to work in factories. Prabhupada said the other name for factory is hell. It's a hellish place. So much heat and fire, dangerous place. Factory. And then the other thing, modern civilization, you know, they advertise United Nations and peace, harmony. But where is the peace? Where is the harmony? One after another, there's a war somewhere in the world going on continuously. So the so-called modern civilization has only given us factories and war. Where life, according to the Vedic system, according to Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, is not meant to be lived in the factory or in the war. The life is meant to be lived depending upon the land, because, again, everything that we require comes from the land. The clothes we wear, right? comes from the land, and that depends on rain. So a good government is a government that guides the people properly, such as we see in the governance of Prithu Maharaj. Guides people for what is in their self-interest. But today's government is not based on the people's interest, but it's based on their own selfish interest. Their own desire for sense gratification, how politicians are working in that way. They advertise that we're for the people, for the benefit of the people, but when you actually see it, it's for the benefit of themselves. Whereas previously, these kings were not like that. They would perform great sacrifice. They would take inconvenience on their own side, from their own well-being, to make sure that the citizens were properly taken care of. There's so many examples of that. We see the life of Maharaj Parikshit, who was wandering in the countryside with his army, observing how the kingdom is going on, right? And he saw that there was a Shudra dressed as a king beating a cow. Now he didn't call for a commission on the welfare of animals. He didn't call for the rural department minister to do something. He didn't ask for the high court injunction. He just immediately pulled out his sword and went to cut his head off. Today, people feel that human beings are important, but animals are not important. You can kill animals. But previously, the king felt that anyone who was born in the country was a praja, as we see the word here, praja. The citizens just didn't mean the human being. Praja means who has taken birth. Whether animal, human, who's ever taken birth in the kingdom, the king's duty was to give protection. Not that you protect the human being and the poor innocent animals can go to the slaughterhouse. This is not proper governance. Everyone should be able to live peacefully. Human beings, the animals, everyone. Things have become so degraded. This is the land of Paritvarsh, and even the modern democracy of this country was based on, for the first resolution that the Indian Parliament passed was a cow protection resolution. But where is that resolution being followed? And who cares today to protect the cow? In Vrindavan, somebody just sent me a message that at night, there are trucks with men that have arms, weapons, you know, rifles, and they bring the trucks into Vrindavan and they look for cows that are roaming on the streets. And they capture them, throw them in the truck, and sell them off to the slaughterhouse. In Vrindavan, we think of Vrindavan, the land of cows. Krishna's taking care of the cow. But things have become so degraded. One of the major exports in this country is meat. Cow's meat and buffalo meat. Cow skin, buffalo skin. Daily, thousands of animals are mercilessly slaughtered. So there are a reaction for material motivation. is Srila Prabhupada many times told us that this artificial society, the petrol society, the car society, very soon it will be finished. Right? Very soon it will be finished. And anything that's maturely motivated, that's the end result. Then it will become degraded. It will become degraded. First, there's some working very hard. Someone, if you want to get money, you have to work very hard to get that money. Right? But the tendency is, generally what we see, is that after persons obtain money, after they obtain wealth, they try to spend that for Sanskrit. They try to lead a quote-unquote luxurious life. And then they become degraded. They become more and more materially motivated. And then everything becomes finished. Just look at the example of America. One of the most prosperous countries in the world. They have so much wealth. But now they're practically finished. Their economy, their so-called free way of life, freedom way of life, finished. They've gone into so much debt. The government is in so much debt that for every man, woman, and child in the United States, the government owes to the banks around the world $470,000. How much is that? $500,000 is what? 2.5 crores of rupees. The government isn't that much debt. Now who has to pay that back? The people. The people. They've gone into so much debt that the children's children's children won't be able to pay it back. All on the basis of sense gratification. All on the basis of some artificial. And a few people are very rich. They've become very wealthy. That's only 10, 15, 20% of the population. The so-called middle class, the prosperous middle class of America is finished. It's over. There's only going to be two classes. The rich and the poor. And the unfortunate thing is that everybody is imitating America. Oh, America. There was some TV show in America, Become a Millionaire. And then there's a TV show in India, Gurupati Banao. Right? Imitation. Imitation. Everything imitation. Krishna's system is there on how to be happy, how to be successful. But people don't want to follow. They think that there's some easy way, some scam, to become successful, to become happy. But there isn't any other way. It's only one way. Right? Real opulence means, depending on the land, grow whatever you need, don't grow anything else. You grow what you need, what you can use. Don't grow anything you can't use. Why do you drive down in Maharashtra? Everywhere tobacco. Everywhere tobacco. What do we need with tobacco? Nobody needs tobacco. But everybody's growing. They may grow some jowar for eating, but they also grow tobacco. The Prabhupada's number one instruction was, don't grow anything you can't use. Only grow those things you can use. And use everything that you grow. today's farmers imitating the West. They're growing nothing that they can use in order that they'll get cash crops. And therefore we see what is the result. Every day so many hundreds of farmers are committing suicide. Maybe thousands around India. They're committing suicide. Because they're not properly guided. They're not following the instructions of Lord Krishna. We see in the life of Lord Krishna, as it's mentioned here, he lived at Govardhan Hill, he protected in the inhabitants of Braj when Indra was showering down so much rain, trying to punish the inhabitants of Vrindavan for not performing the Indra Puja. But just see the life of those farmers in Braj. They were very opulent. They had opulent colorful turbans made out of silk cloth, silk dhotis, silk cloth. Right? They were very, very opulent. Did they have factories? Did they have the New York Stock Exchange? Dalal Street? None of that was there. They just had land. They had cows. They were getting lots of milk. They used that milk. Anything extra, they traded it for things like stuff that they needed. This is a real economy. Everything else is artificial. It's destined to fail. Destined to fail. The American government is frantically trying to prop up the artificial system that they've created, but it's destined to fail. All the economists are saying it's only the beginning. This is only the tip of the iceberg of how America is going to fail. Now I know that's hard to believe. I know it's hard to digest, especially for somebody from India who's always been trying to follow, you know, faithfully follow. But look at the British Empire. There used to be a saying that in the British Empire, the sun never sets. The sun never sets. Why? Because it was vast. It covered the whole world. They had colonies over in Africa. They had colonies in South America. They had colonies everywhere. India was a colony of the British. The sun never sets on the British Empire. Now the saying is, the sun never rises on the British Empire. Why? Because it's only Britain. And in Britain there's only a few days of sunlight. Mostly it's cloudy and rainy. So the sun never rises on the British Empire. In Srila Prabhupada's time, the British Empire was very powerful. Think, Prabhupada was born in 1896, right? The British Empire spread everywhere, all over the Middle East, so many different places. British Empire, very powerful. Now what's it today? One little island. Nothing. Failure. Similarly, that's what's going to happen in America. Because they had so much wealth, just like the British, they had so much wealth. They were taking the commodities from India, taking it to that country, manufacturing things, and selling it all over their empire. That's right. Srila Prabhupada also wore a dhoti that was manufactured in Manchester. They would take the cotton from India and take it to Manchester, make cloth, bring it back to India and sell it. Right? And if anybody was found with a hand loom, what did they do? They cut off their thumb so they couldn't operate the hand loom. Yeah. And now, finish. Same thing, this mad imitation of America, very soon it's going to be finished. Srila Prabhupada warned us. But we're not very expert at following Srila Prabhupada's warnings. We think that just like the British felt, the Americans felt, everything's going to go on like this. It's not possible. It's same mistake the British made, the Americans made, the Indian population is making today. They got a little money, and now they're into sense gratification. Look everywhere in Bombay. Right? People are only interested in sense gratification. How to enjoy the senses. Right? They advertise half-dressed women everywhere. What was the glory of India? It's chaste women. Queen Kunti, Gandhari, so many chaste women were there. And now the moral character of women in India is becoming less and less and less. Dressing in a very provocative way. This is, quote unquote, the modern life. So due to this degradation, things are also going to decline. So far, us as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, yes, we're engaged in so many things in the service of Krishna, but we shouldn't become attached. We live in an opulent place, this Hare Krishna land, but we shouldn't be attached. We have so many facilities for preaching. Hopefully they're for preaching, but don't be attached. Only one thing that we should be attached to, and that's Krishna and Krishna's devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. We always take shelter of Krishna, then we will not become bewildered, thinking that a luxurious life at the expense of others is appropriate. We always have to be very careful, because Maya is very powerful. For one who is engaged in the process of devotional service, there's two very dangerous things, that's women and money. So here in our Juhu temple, so much money is coming, right? Also so many, you know, beautifully dressed women are also coming. So for the practitioner of devotional service, these are two very powerful forces that can destroy one's devotional griefer. One has to be cautious. Yes, we're doing everything for Krishna. We're preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, very good. You can try to catch the big fish, but don't get wet. Right? Don't get wet. One has to protect oneself, insulate oneself from Maya. And that is done chiefly through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord in association with devotees. By taking shelter of Shishirada Arasuri, Lord Nitai, Sitaram Lakshman and Hanuman. We'll be protected. So are there any questions?
Sugar cane and cotton and exporting.
thing going on in India? At some point in the 60s, India could not grow enough grain to feed its population. Then there were some efforts to grow more grain, and India could not only feed its population, it was exporting grain. But due to the same fever, cash crop fever, that's going on, now India is importing grain. So, it's the same kind of misdirected civilization, same problem. Neither the politicians are just worthless dogs. Right? They're two-legged animals. They don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. And who elects them? The majority of the two-legged animals. This is democracy. So how can we expect anything good to come from such a thing? The leaders are misdirected, they're blind, and all the people are blind, so what happens? Everyone falls in the ditch. Which was not the case when there were Krishna-conscious kings, like Prithu Maharaj, Maharaj Prishad, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, etc. But now there's no shelter. The people are simply, their lives are just like goats. Like they send the goats to the slaughterhouse. The people are also being sent to the so-called educational institutions where they don't learn anything about the goat life. They only learn about any sleeping, mating, and defending. That's why Srila Prabhupada called the modern educational system simply slaughterhouses. Right? Kids go there, and their parents are the hope is, oh, my son will become engineer. Right? And he will, you know, take care of me in my old age. But they don't have any basic moral character. So, they don't even know how to take care of themselves. How will they take care of their old age parents? So this is the basic defect. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned. He understood the urgent need for Krishna consciousness. And Krishna-conscious education, Krishna-conscious farms based on the land and the cow. But somehow or another, we have not been so expert to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Maybe because of our desire for sense gratification, we've become diverted. And Srila Prabhupada started many farm projects. Many of those farm projects are closed. And he said that, you know, very soon there'll be a war between India and Pakistan and will spread all over the world. Now at the time I was thinking, well, you know, the war hasn't started, Prabhupada left still there. But it's becoming more and more prevalent every day. So those persons who know how to grow food, they will live. And those who don't, they will die. Just like everybody that lives here in Bombay. Nobody knows. There's nowhere you could grow any food. Everything is covered with asphalt. There's barely even a few trees here. Right? Time is coming, you can see. The world situation, the economic situation is bad, the political situation is bad. We're being threatened by non-existence. One, you know, the Taliban take over Pakistan, one push of the button is already bold. How do you go? So we have to become more intense on following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And what is this instruction? Pure devotional service. Pure, unmotivated devotional service. That was his instruction. Without any tinge for sense gratification, without any tinge for mental speculation, that was Srila Prabhupada's desire. The closer we come to that, the more we'll be protected. Even if the whole world becomes an uninhabitable place, still the devotees will be protected if they have that pure desire to serve Krishna. That's the thing we should be working for. Sticking to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Any other questions?
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for this wonderful lecture. Mm-hmm. And I would add something to this. That when you said about all the Dao things in the Dao, and currently the status something is like, you know, just 2 to 3 weeks back, that people have come to care for Dao, pick up Dao from there, and you know, because there was no one who was there that would have to protect the Dao. People just want to just come, pick up cows, and just want to leave them. And this goes by in Rajasthan, they have this big slaughter house, which cuts like 15,000 animals per day.
Per in Rajasthan.
And that's their main motive of doing that. And the government is not that strong anywhere. In their cows, and they have, they are breaking the mountains. They are like very historical festivals, Krishna used to ride. They want to take that for their construction of houses and all that. Because they want stones for that. And now they're trying to take over the mountain. It's like, it's very strong.
It's stated that it's because of the effects of Kali Yuga, the holy place has become covered. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the one that uncovered Raj, where the pastimes of Krishna were. So the more we stick to the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can stave off the effects of Kali Yuga. But a day will come in Kali Yuga that, you know, no one will know where any of the pastime places are of the Lord. That'll be the unfortunate situation. We can already see, sometimes there's so less water in the Jamuna, it's only like this much water in the Jamuna. One day there'll be no Jamuna, there'll be no Ganga. Kali Yuga is so rapidly approaching. So, what can we do? We can spend our energy convincing everyone we meet to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that way, push back the effect of Kali Yuga.
Prabhuji, you said that Maharaj Prithu was an incarnation of Lord Krishna, he was a Shakti Vish avatar. So what are the other different kinds of avatars that Krishna takes?
Krishna has unlimited avatars. Describes that if you stand on the shore of the ocean and the waves come in all night long, all day long, the waves are coming, isn't it? It's impossible to count them because they just keep coming. So Krishna's avatars are like that. They're unlimited. They just keep coming. But they can be categorized. There's the Purusha avatars, the different Vishnu murtis that are there for creation, maintenance of the universe. There's the Manvatar, the incarnations of Manu that come for the management of the earth. There's the Leela avatar, such as Vama, Nishinga, Mancha. They are Kurma for the pastimes of the Lord. And the Shaktarasha avatars, empowered individuals. So these different incarnations are there because of the Lord's pleasure and also for our benefit. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Krishna, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada.